So let's review. Today's daf begins with the halachas of Shechayonu. The Mishnah at the beginning of the parak said, "Bona bayis chadosh v'kon nekelim chadoshim, oyim baruch Shechayonu v'kimonu v'yonu lazman hazeh." If he built a new house or bought new clothing, he recites the bracha of Shechayonu. The bracha of Shechayonu is an expression of thanks to Hashem for the simcha, the joy of acquiring something new. Hence the following: Am Rav Huna leishana ela she'in lo kiyetzeh b'hem. Rav Huna limits this to where the item is entirely new to him and he does not already have something similar to this new item. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says that one recites Shechayonu on any new item, even if he previously owned a similar item. In the Gemara, we have two versions of the machlokes of Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. The various degrees of newness and joy are as follows. Ein lo kiyetzeh b'hem. He never owned an item such as this, even from an inheritance. Yesh lo kiyetzeh b'hem. He previously had an item such as this from an inheritance, but this is the first time that he bought this item or received it as a gift. And kana v'chazer v'kana. He once already bought such an item, and now he buys a similar item. The different opinions are based on the question, what degree of newness brings sufficient joy for which the Chacham obligated one in the bracha of Shechayonu? The next halacha mentioned in the Mishnah was, mevarch ala ra me'en halateva, v'alateva me'en ala ra. The bracha dina emes is set on misfortune, even though it will have a favorable outcome in the future. As an example, his field was flooded. Now, although in the future, when the water recedes, the sediment left behind will fertilize and improve his field, resulting in much benefit. However, hashda mirahi, right now his current crop is lost or damaged, resulting in a substantial loss. In this case, baruch dayan emes is said, because the bracha is always based on the present situation. So too, the bracha atayva meitiv is said on a favorable occurrence, even though it would result in a misfortune. As an example, he found a bundle of money. In those days, the king would confiscate it. However, hashda miyotayvi. Right now, he has the money. In this case, hatoyva meitiv is said based on the present. The next halacha mentioned in the Mishnah was, v'hatzoik l'sha'avar harizu tefilashav. Now, one who davens for something that has already passed, that is a tefilashav, a tefillah in vain. The Mishnah gave two examples. The first example is, ha'isa ishli muberes. His wife is pregnant, and he davens for his zachar, a male baby. It's considered a tefillah shav, a tefillah in vain. The Gemara remarks that apparently the reason such a prayer is considered a tefillah shav is that such a tefillah cannot help, since the baby's gender is already determined. The Gemara asks that we find that when Leah became pregnant after she already had 6 sons, she had the following concern. Now she knew that Yaakovina would have 12 shvatim. She already had 6 sons. Bilhah and Zilpah each had 2 sons for a total of 10. If she had another son, that would leave only one more son for Rachel to bear. Therefore, she davened that if the fetus in her womb is a male, it should be transformed into a female, so that her sister Rachel should be able to give birth to 2 shvatim equal to the number of shvatim that Bilhah and Zilpah each had. The resulting birth was Dina. Thus, we see that it's possible to transform the gender of the fetus through tefillah. The Gemara gives 2 answers. Ein maskir ma'isa nisim. We cannot bring any proof from an outright miracle. And ma'isa deleya toich mem yoim havu. Leah davened during the first 40 days of her pregnancy, when the gender of the fetus is not yet determined. Therefore, her tefillah was effective. But after 40 days of pregnancy, such a tefillah is a tefillah shav. The Mishnah gives another example of tefillah shav. Ho'ibo ba'derech v'shuma kol tzvacha be'ir. If one is on the road and he hears cries coming from the city, he should not pray that the cries not be from his house, for in effect he's praying to undo something that's already happening. The Gemara relates, however, that Hil Hazakan once heard screaming from the city, and instead of praying that it should not be from his house, he declared based on his great betach and Hashem, Muftachani she'en zebetech besi. I am certain that the screaming is not coming from my house. The Gemara concludes, V'olav akasav oimer, mishmus ra layira, nochein liba betuach b'Hashem. Regarding Hil, we can apply the pasuk that says, of bad tidings he will have no fear. His heart is firm and confident in Hashem. The Gemara relates that Rabbi Shmuel Ber Yosi once noticed a Talmud exhibiting fear while accompanying him in the marketplace of Tzion. Sensing that his student's fear stemmed from a lack of betachin, Shmuel said to him, "You're a sinner, for the pasuk states, Pachdu b'tzion chataim. Sinners were afraid in Tzion." The student asked Rabbi Shmuel, but we find the pasuk to the contrary. Ashri adam mefachet tamid. Fortunate is the man who is always fearful. Rabbi Shmuel answered, "Hahu b'divrei tariksiv." The latter pasuk speaks specifically of one who is fearful about forgetting his Torah learning, and is thereby prompted to review often. But any other type of fear is not desirable. The next halacha mentioned in the Mishnah was, "Hanichnas lekrach mevarch shtayim, achas bichnisasei v'achas biyitziasei. Benazayim arba, shtayim bichnisasei u'shtayim biyitziasei." The Gemara spells out in detail the text of these tefillahs recited upon entering and leaving the city. The Gemara then teaches various other tefillahs and brachas, some of which are recited daily, and others are recited periodically under certain circumstances. Some of these brachas and tefillahs are hanichnas lebeis hamerchatz, a tefillah upon entering and exiting a bathhouse; hanichnas lahakis dam, a tefillah before and after letting blood; hanichnas lebeis hakise, a tefillah upon entering and leaving the bathroom; hanichnas lichna mitasa, a tefillah before going to sleep. Among these tefillahs, we find bakashas not to be harmed during these activities, to which Abaye says, loy leme in ashachi. When one davens for help upon entering a dangerous situation, he should not spill out in his tefillah the possible disaster, because Rish Lakish taught, lo'olam al yiftach adam piv l'satan. A person should never give the satan an opening, for by mentioning a possible disaster that might happen to him, one could bring the disaster upon himself. The Gemara then elaborates on the tefillah sashacha, the brachas recited each morning. The Gemara quotes their text and when to say each one of them. The Gemara now turns to the next halacha taught in the Mishnah. One is obligated to make a bracha for misfortune that befell him, just as he makes a bracha for a good occurrence. Now the Gemara explains that although the text of the two brachas are different, as the bracha on something bad is baruch da'ayin emes, whereas the bracha on something good is baruch atayv ha-meitiv, lo nitzucha el kablina b'simcha. The Mishnah used the word kishem, just as, to teach that both should be accepted with joy. The Gemara cites several sources for this concept, one of which is the pasuk in Tehillim. Chesed u'mishpat u'shira l'cho Hashem azamer. Im chesed u'shira v'im mishpat u'shira. David HaMelech is saying, whether I receive chesed, kindness, or mishpat, justice and punishment, I sing to you, Hashem. To this end, the Gemara cites the famous saying of Rabbi Akiva. Lo'olam yehi adam roga lo'imer kol da'ovi rechmon la'tavov. Regardless of what happens to him, a person should always be accustomed to say, whatever Hashem does, he does for the best. The Gemara then illustrates this concept with the well-known story that happened with Rabbi Akiva while traveling. Now one day, he couldn't find lodging and had to sleep in the field. During the night, a wind blew out Rabbi Akiva's lamp. A cat came and ate his rooster, and a lion ate his donkey. After each misfortune, Rabbi Akiva lived up to his teaching and said, Kol dav rachman l'tavavit. In the end, the kindness of Hashem became evident. During the night, the city was invaded by an army. Rabbi Akiva was speared because he was sleeping in the field. He went unnoticed by the captors due to the fact that his lamp was extinguished and his animals were gone and didn't make any noise. Rabbi Akiva said, did I not tell you that whatever Hashem does, he does for the best?